another podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. Small Business Consulting to Go is a monthly discussion with Executive Editor Greg LaFollette and nationally recognized accounting software expert Doug Sleater. These highly sought-after thought leaders discuss the tricks and techniques used by the profession's top-performing small business accounting consultants. Learn what's hot and what's not as they cover QuickBooks, Peachtree, Microsoft Accounting, and the myriad of add-ons that make small businesses work better and help them be more profitable. Small Business Consulting to Go is sponsored by Bill Quick.
Good afternoon. Greg LaFollette, CPA Technology Advisor, and our Intersection Live podcast series of regularly recurring scheduled podcasts. This is Small Business Consulting to Go, Episode 6. And I have my regularly scheduled guest, Doug Sleater, who makes me look good every single month. Doug, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Greg.
Thanks again so much for taking the time out of what I know is a busy schedule to share the stuff that you've learned over the years about small business consulting and all of the things that not only small business consultants, but are people who consult to small businesses, but small businesses who consult to others. So that gets to be a little bit of a tongue twister, but let me see if I can kind of define that. It occurs to me that there are an awful lot of people out there who as a matter of their practice, they are they're architects, engineers, lawyers, IT professionals, and accountants who provide service to others, and the kinds of things that we talk about here are valuable for them. Right, Doug?
Yeah, a lot of the topics that we have are somewhat technical in nature, but they apply to really across the board to the small business consultant, because we try to include things that aren't just about the computer, but how you manage your practice and how you go about applying technology to that.
Right. In a larger part, though, when we talk about in the general terms of small business consultants, a lot of times what we're talking about are people who have built a practice around helping others with QuickBooks, Microsoft Office, accounting, Peachtree, and all of the myriad of add-ons and add-ins that exist around that. So we toss these nouns around consultant kind of loosely, and sometimes we should probably be a little bit more precise, but I don't know how to do that. So I just kind of wanted to make that clear to everyone. A couple of notes for all of you to, if you're a regular listener, you'll recall that we do publish show notes. So anytime as we're going through and Doug talks about a particular product or a company or a website, you don't have to scramble for a pencil to write that down. Just go to the magazine's website, that's cpatechadvisor.com or cpata.com, and follow the link to Intersection Live. You can look at this particular show. It's Small Business Consulting to Go, Episode 6. And once you open that, there will be all of the show notes. Give us a day or so to before you go listening. If you're listening live, give us a day or so to get those up. And you'll have all of those. We try and put the hyperlinks in and make it easy so you can see exactly what's going on. You don't have to worry about going, what the heck did he say? And we don't have to worry about spelling things. So we'd appreciate it if you'd pop over there and take a look at the show notes. In addition, we do maintain a voicemail box. If you've got any questions or comments or thoughts that you'd like to share with us, just dial our 800-456-0864, and our extension is 2106. So that's 800-456-0864, extension 2106, and leave us your notes. We occasionally, we always listen to them. We occasionally play them on the show or take the questions and answer them. Sometimes we actually bring listener guests on and visit with them, and we learn a lot that way, and helps kind of keep us focused on making sure we answer what our listeners are really looking for. And that's always fun to get those, right, Doug?
Absolutely. We spend all of our life trying to anticipate what all of you out there are trying to solve in your businesses or ways you're trying to improve yourself. But gosh, if you could just help us out by asking us your questions or prompting us with a topic that you'd like us to discuss, we'd love to. Even if it means we got to go research it, we'll do that for you.
Right, right. Well, it's that's what makes it fun. So keep letting us know what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong in terms of doing things right. Just a couple of other reminders. We do record live on TalkShoe. I'm looking right now. I see we've got a couple of guests there, one we're going to bring in and visit with a little bit later. But if you do want to listen to us live, simply go to TalkShoe.com. We will record our next episode 7, on March 13th at 12 p.m. Central Time. And we'll be doing episode 7 at that point. So if you've got a few minutes and you want to tune us in, just go over there and do a couple of clicks and you can listen to us live on your computer. If you want to dial in and talk to us, just raise your hand electronically there and we can bring you in and take your questions. So that's where we're at. So today, Doug, in addition to our awesome add-ons, which we do every month, and our awesome add-on this month, and you told us this last month, so I feel comfortable sharing it with the listeners. Our awesome add-on that we're going to talk about this month is BillQuick from BQE Software, and we will have Shafat Kazi on. We'll visit with him a little bit later. Now, segue. Watch this really clever segue, Doug. We want to take a minute and thank our sponsor. It just gets a little messy because the fact that BQE Software is a sponsor has nothing to do with the fact that they're an awesome add-on, because they were an awesome add-on before they were a sponsor. Right, Doug?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, they really are an awesome add-on. But these the guys at BQE have been kind enough to take a real leadership position, and they're real visionaries. They sponsor this particular podcast and help us pay the bandwidth bills, and we appreciate it an awful lot. And as you will hear us talk about more later, and you've certainly heard us talk about it before, this is really, really interesting stuff. The kinds of features and bells and whistles that they've built into something that used to be known as time and billing software is now developed to something that raises management to a whole new level, and I'm sure that we're going to hear a little bit more about that later. But this is good stuff, and I've thought it was good stuff for a long, long time. And Doug, I think you've had them as awesome add-ons for more than just a couple of years, right?
Yeah, in fact, I believe 3 years now in a row, they've really impressed us when we go out and look at several what we call add-ons. And by the way, just to define that for people who don't know what that term means, it's really software that adds into your small business accounting software, whether that's QuickBooks or Peachtree or Office Accounting, or maybe it's one of the Sage products in the higher end. These companies that add vertically focused products and features, like in this case time and billing, they add those features in their software. They add the data into the accounting software so that the client who's using these software doesn't have to re-enter data over in their accounting system just because what they're doing happens to affect the general ledger. So we look at lots of products every year who do these kinds of things, and in the time and billing space, we've just not seen anybody excel nearly as much as what they've done at BQE Software. So we'll be talking to Shafat and
okay.
kind of asking him about his product and
right.
talk a little bit about features.
Okay. Well, before we get to that, let's go back and talk about this month's topic, which is really two topics, but can't talk about them separately because they bleed over so much. It's this whole idea of electronic invoicing and statements. So it's billing your and sending your invoices and your statements electronically, and then turning around and grabbing other transactions electronically. So it's all kind of this Web 2.0 idea where your desktop application, your QuickBooks or your Office Accounting, you know, your Microsoft Office Accounting or Peachtree or whatever it happens to be, actually uses other systems to go out and do this electronic invoicing. So set up that problem, Doug. What am I missing if I'm not doing electronic invoicing?
This is just such a great area for people to streamline what they're doing in their businesses. So to get your arms around the problem, like Greg said, we're going to talk about two sides of the problem. One is, how do you get paid by your customers? And the other is, how do you pay vendors when you're paying them with credit cards? How do you get those credit card transactions accounted for in your system? So on the first side, the invoicing, you're going to be sending transactions to your clients and hoping that they pay right away. The old world is, hey, create an invoice. Some people used to do it in Word and just say, hey, you owe me $300, pay it net 30 days, whatever. Then you print that out and lick an envelope and put it in the mail and hope that in 30 days you get paid. That process is so fraught with delays and inefficiencies and costs that it's just not anymore really what we want to do. Now that, combined with the fact that the technologies that are inside certainly QuickBooks as well as many of the others now, to be able to email invoices or otherwise electronically transfer the fact that you have invoices for your customers, if you can do that and actually then also allow them to pay you online with typing in their credit card in some secure web connection, you have just, number one, reduced all of the cost of the paper and the delay and mail and all that stuff. But number two, made it so much more convenient for your client. If they insist on paper, they can print it themselves. But if they don't, they've got it electronically, and they can simply click a button, type in their credit card if they haven't done it before. But if they have paid you in the past and have a relationship, they can just say, okay, approve, pay. And so the process for both you and your customer gets so much more efficient, and you're going to get paid, you know, just 10 times faster than otherwise. So the benefits there are obvious. And Greg, I know that you do a lot of work for lots of different customers, and I know that you do electronic invoicing. Tell me what you've found by doing that.
Well, actually, I do it because I'm lazy. and it makes my life so much simpler to just blast it out. And I do occasionally have someone who will say, you know, who will actually call me and say, we require a printed invoice.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, here's how you do that.
Click, print.
Open that up. Now you have a printer connected, print it. Now you have one, because if I do it, that's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
I'm going to print it and send it to you, so you may as well print it there. It's exactly the same thing.
Except
I think there's a real opportunity here for accounting firms, particularly, and for, you know, for consultants who work with small businesses on the IT side, you know, to send their statement this way, their invoice this way, because it is a I guess I consider it a kind of a demonstration of technological prowess.
Mm-hmm.
It says, this is what I can do. And, you know, if you're impressed with that, Mr. Client, not only will I send you this bill that way, but I will also come and help you figure out how to do it, and then I'll send you another bill for that.
True.
And I mean, that's a real service for your client, because sometimes, you know, your client doesn't know what they don't know. So they're probably, the concept of sending an electronic invoice with a place where their customer could just click to pay, nobody's going to call and ask you about that unless they hear about it somewhere.
That's right.
So they may as well, where better to hear it from than from their trusted advisor?
Yeah, somebody who's already, who they have to pay something to.
Sure.
Yeah, so let me break it down just a little further, just in case there is a little bit of fuzziness and, well, how do I do that? What steps do I take? The first step in this is you have to have a merchant account. If you're a QuickBooks user, that's really pretty much a no-brainer. There's something called Innovative Merchant Solutions, and that's actually an Intuit company. And right inside the QuickBooks user interface, you can pull down the customer menu and say, add a merchant credit or merchant account to your system. So it's as easy as sort of signing up online. There is a little bit of a delay, but you're essentially getting an account with a online service that processes credit cards and puts the money into your bank account. Now, most people have those in the most businesses who ship products or have stores, they have merchant accounts. But maybe the consultants are the ones who are least likely to today already have one of these.
Because they don't have a lot of volume.
Yeah.
They don't have lots of small transactions.
Right. And they don't have customers coming in to their offices quite often. So they're not used to really getting a credit card transaction. Anyway, so that's step one. Get a merchant account. There are a lot of different options out there. But if you get the one that's inside QuickBooks, just right under the customer menu, you know, add credit card processing, then you'll get some benefits that actually reduce the number of clicks and those sorts of things and integrate it in with your normal workflow. So that's the first step. The other step is really, you know, you have to have an email address, and I think everybody has that. You have to have, I'm going to assume for this little part of it that you're using QuickBooks and you're going to create an invoice or a sales receipt transaction. By the way, you could be using QuickBooks Online Edition or the Desktop Edition. They both have these functions, and these functions are also very much available in the Microsoft Office accounting product and Peachtree as well. So since I spend most of my days looking at the QuickBooks interface, that's kind of where I'm pointing you now. But look at all at this function in each of the products.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's one other step beyond that, and that is really, you know, once you create your invoice, if you've got the merchant account, there's going to be a button on it that says email instead of print. And from there, it just takes you through the screens and you're sending email. And along the way, there's a little button that says, allow my customer to pay me online. And that's the magic thing that makes it such that when your customer gets this email, there's a button in the email they click that takes them to a secure site where they type in the credit card information to
sure.
charge and pay you.
Now, there's also, I mean, just to I don't know. I don't want to confuse this issue, but we are talking about, you know, we do have BillQuick here
mm-hmm.
an awesome add-on. We should probably throw in that in this particular context, BillQuick has done it for a long time. You know, built right in there. So they actually did it. You know, they've been kind of a pioneer in that automatic electronic invoicing world.
Absolutely. So again, you're going to have a merchant account. You're in many, let's say you're an attorney or an architect or an engineer in an engineering firm, and you're using BillQuick to do your time tracking and billing. Well, you're going to be creating your invoices most likely right there in the BillQuick product. And very similar workflow is built right in there. And so you'll email the invoice and they'll pay online in the same idea. So in a minute we're going to ask Shafat to kind of talk about that and some alternative ways to go about that whole process.
And that works because of what you said at the very beginning. All of these add-ons really just stand between you and what I would call the underlying database of the QuickBooks or the Office Accounting or the Peachtree, whatever it happens to be. These add-ons, in this case BillQuick,
mm-hmm.
Just become a different interface
mm-hmm.
for to get data in there. And then, of course, they add a lot of their own kind of functionality that those products, the base products don't have.
Absolutely.
That's why it works. Okay.
Yep. And you get project tracking and lots of extra
sure.
features along
sure.
that way.
So how many, when you're out talking to people, Doug, how popular is this? Is this happening a little bit or a lot, or what kind of experience do you have?
Well, I think it's still, unfortunately, pretty rare. I mean, it's still, the people doing this are the people who are somewhat techie still and really familiar with and comfortable with the internet. And some of the larger businesses, let's say a large law firm or a large consulting firm, probably haven't investigated this area of their practice. Maybe, I'll just conjecture, maybe because they've got a bookkeeper who handles all that and they haven't really thought back, how could we streamline our business? So if that fits you and you're in our audience today, check in with the bookkeeper and say, how do we do invoicing? Show me. And then if they're using, let's say, BillQuick, how come we're not allowing our customers to pay us online? It's not something that's going to come up in between, discussions with your clients every day, how they're going to pay you. So you have to actually take a step and say, how could we streamline this both for us and for the customer? And what impact would that have on our cash flow and our overall relationship between us and our client? And I think just good news all the way around on that.
I'm gonna put on my regular consumer hat and
mm-hmm.
say I'm just a person who buys stuff, and I bought something from someone and they send me this kind of an electronic invoice that allows me a single click to pay it. I like that. I mean, I know that they're getting their money a lot faster, and I know that if I, set it over the side of my desk and wrote them a check, 2 weeks later, I'd get better float and all of that stuff. But, as I said at the beginning, I'm lazy.
Yeah.
And I would look at that as a true benefit.
Yeah, even though you're right, the float is the only thing that goes away for the client in the scenario. But one of those successful books, Successful Habits or something. One of the biggest time management tricks is never touch paper twice. So like when you open the mail, you should open it, deal with it, and be done with it. Not
right.
Not set it in a stack, which ends up next month or something.
Or set it in your inbox or electronics. So this isn't just paper. It's never deal with an email twice if you have to.
That's for sure. Right. And luckily, we've made it so that it's compelling for them not to deal with it twice. You just click and you're done. It's click, maybe type a few characters, and you're done. But
right.
It's so painless relative to having to type the thing into my system and all the different pieces that I've
sure.
got to do.
So where are the gotchas in this? You come out to my shop, and I'm an architect, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm saying, well, I'm billing clients, and I've got all kinds of different problems with the way I have to bill people, but we've solved all of those, and all we're talking about right now is how do I get this bill out there electronically? Where are the gotchas?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the gotchas that I wouldn't call it a gotcha, first of all. I just think one of the issues that has come up in the past is that people like to use Outlook for their, you know, for everything. And they like to be able to see in their sent items folder everything they've ever sent. All right. Now, in the past, when you did these sending of invoices electronically, they wouldn't show up in your sent items folder. With QuickBooks 2008, the desktop version, you can actually use Outlook to send the invoice instead of having it send through the QuickBooks site directly. So that's something with QuickBooks specifically that has been added this year to keep from, well, the issue would be, did I send that email invoice or not? I forget. You know, so that might be what you would consider a potential gotcha.
Sure.
And the solution is, you know, use Outlook to send them.
Okay. All right. So now we're, you know, we've got that side of the electronic invoicing. When I've done the invoicing, is there a system, I assume, that when I go to send statements, first of all, I'm probably not going to have that many statements to send because I get my invoices paid before I would have to send a statement. But when I go to send statements, I can do that batch just like I would, you know, if I were sending paper statements, right?
Right.
So there's really nothing differently. And if I've got some that go in paper and some that go electronically, that works fine. I do that client by client.
Yep, no problem with that. There's no downside to doing a little bit.
Okay.
And then you're probably wondering, well, wait, when they pay, then how do I know that they paid? And that's even some more good news. Again, I'm going to focus on the QuickBooks because I think most people are familiar with what's going on there. When normally, if you send me a check, Greg, you're a vendor of mine. I'm sending, or you're a customer of mine, and I'm asking you to pay. You send me a check, I say receive payment. I have to enter a transaction into
sure.
the system, and I have to match up your payment with the particular invoice that I sent you. And if there's a whole bunch of them outstanding, then I have to be careful to make sure it applies to the right one. Well, if I sent you that same thing electronically and you paid me through the clicking that I was talking about before, what I get in QuickBooks is, first of all, I'll get a notification via email that you've paid me and a link to go straight to the place in QuickBooks. Well, actually, sorry, the link in this email isn't really going to be something I'll use. I'll just simply know that a payment has been made. I go into QuickBooks and I simply go into the payment center and I say get online payments. Well, that takes QuickBooks online to its online place and grabs the payment that you've already made and applies it to that particular invoice because there's a link between the two, and it enters that transaction into QuickBooks for me. So I didn't do any data entry.
Ah, okay. Okay. So that's the beauty of it on the receipt side.
Mm-hmm.
What about when I'm spending money, Doug? We talked about
mm-hmm.
reducing all of this, all of the data, the key punch and data
right.
entry stuff. What about getting it? You know, if I'm out spending money, you know, credit cards, downloads, things like that. It's completely different, but somehow in my mind it's the same.
Yeah, connected, very similar set of technologies. So you've got a Visa, maybe you got two Visas and three Amex cards. I don't know. Maybe you got a business and a personal, whatever. We're going to focus on your business right now, and we're going to focus on the fact that you have a credit card in your pocket, and you're spending money at the office supply store for the flights, for the hotel rooms, all the different things that your credit card is spending. And the issue is getting those transactions into QuickBooks. Now, there's two big ways. I'm going to talk about the old world for a minute here, and then we're going to talk about how we can make it so much nicer.
Okay.
The old world is you had two big choices, or, well, you could choose between one of two big ways of going. One way, maybe the abbreviated way, is wait till you get the credit card statement in the mail, look at the total charges for the month, and put a bill in or write a check, and code that check or bill to all of the details on the statement or some sort of summary of total travel purchases and total office supplies and all that stuff.
Right. Well, then when I look in my ledger, then when I look at my expenses, what I see is as a description. Then I see, you know, paid to Wells Fargo Bank.
Yeah.
Or Citibank, as opposed to Staples or Delta Airlines, right?
Right.
That's the downside, huh?
That's the downside of that decision. The upside is that I'm only doing one transaction per month with a bunch of splits that I had to, first of all, I had to calculate all of the sum of travel plus the sum of, office supplies and those. So it was not totally easy, but it was at least maybe just one transaction a month.
Right.
A lot of people have been doing that for years.
Sure.
A subtle problem that comes in with that is, what if you carry a balance on the card?
Because
now, if I've written a check for the total charges, but really I'm not going to write, I'm going to not write all of the charges that I, or pay all of the charges this month, so then I can't completely account for all the charges because I'm not paying them all because it's all on one check. So it gets ugly quickly when people try to make that shortcut. So another sort of the other big decision you could have made was, all right, well, I could set up a credit card account, a liability in the chart of accounts, and just like any, like AP in a sense, but one liability would be called American Express card,
okay,
or Visa card. And in that account, every single charge you make on the credit card is entered as a transaction. So you got the vendor name, you got the amount, you got the coding of what type of expense it is, maybe classifying, maybe other metadata, like a memo or whatever. The good part about that is then you have a running balance throughout the month, as long as you put the stuff in, because by the way, you're typing it in, you have a running balance of your credit card balances. The downside, many downsides. One, it's very labor intensive. I had a client several years back, and she basically it was a consulting firm, and she had five traveling consultants, and they traveled all over the world all the time, and it was so difficult to get her traveling consultants to number one, keep all of the American Express receipts,
sure,
and number two, code on them what it was for, business purposes and all that stuff, number three, turn them in a timely way such that she could pay the American Express bill that came in, because she had to match up from the American Express bill all the receipts from the traveling consultants. And by the way, each one of those bills or receipts were billable to a different client for a different reason, maybe a different project. So it got very ugly. So those problems are best brought straight over to Shafat, who's the CEO of BillQuick, because this is the world he lives in, is helping people with their time and billing issues. So in a minute, he's going to talk to you about how he solves that problem.
Great segue.
Yeah.
you're getting really good. That's about half scary.
That's right.
Let me see if I can handle the technology here and see if I can get Shafat in here, and we'll I think he's been tuned in. Shafat, are you with us?
Yes, Greg, I'm with you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
I am enjoying the conversation between you and Doug. I think it's something, as Doug said, very close to us, electronic invoicing. So I definitely have a few tips on that.
Sure.
To begin with, I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. BillQuick, that received the awesome add-on for our listeners, it is a standalone product too, so it doesn't necessarily require you to have QuickBooks or any other accounting software installed. It can run on its own, but as a application that integrates with QuickBooks, we definitely did have the honor to get that award from Doug for 3 years in a row, and really proud of it. Going back,
good point. Thanks for that clarification. We sometimes go fast past that because so many people, they take QuickBooks and and they put it in the background, and then what they actually do is use BillQuick all day long. That's really what their product is, and BillQuick does everything they need, and then you let QuickBooks do the debits and credits stuff that they do so well, and you do kind of the heavy lifting. So thanks for that clarification.
Yeah, thanks. Going back to the electronic invoice, I wanted to add a couple of quick points on how BillQuick handles that. You mentioned correctly, Greg, that we did start this concept about 7 years ago when we started with PDFing the invoices, and then we extended the feature to put a link on that PDF file so they can pay that invoice electronically through their merchant account. And then finally, we added the last piece of the puzzle, which is automatically download the payments into BillQuick and basically get that in. And of course, if you are integrating with QuickBooks or Office Accounting or Peachtree, all that information does flow in. But here's something interesting that most listeners should know. The credit card started displacing cash very fast. So anything we did for which we needed to carry cash became an easier way to have credit card. So when you were out of cash, you would pull it out, or many times you'll just pull it out as an ease because you could actually account for it. Cash was very difficult to keep track of. But credit card did not displace the check really fast. So when we started including the merchant account and the credit card link within our electronic invoices, we did actually have a pilot study with several of our customer companies, and we were very surprised to see that most of their clients, much higher percentage than we thought it would be, did choose to pay that invoice electronically. So those consulting firms that believe that if they add an electronic invoice, their customer's still going to write a check, they'll be pleasantly surprised how many of their customers actually did choose to pay that invoice electronically. And we then went ahead, when we got the numbers much higher than what we thought, we went ahead and researched and called back their customers with their permission and asked them questions, what was the factors, other than the factor then, of course, like, it was easy and I like it. And, the reasons they gave us that one of the things they wanted was the incentives that the credit card companies gave them, such as the mileage or cash back. The second thing which most small businesses face nowadays is the cash flow problem.
Sure.
So this kind of solved their cash flow problem, where they didn't have to pay this consultant bill right away. They could delay it until the credit card bill arrives. And the third reason they gave us, they said our accountant likes it because he now has to deal with one bill, which is a credit card bill, rather than dealing with 50 bills. And he can download credit card transactions automatically into his accounting software and have it categorized really easily. Makes his job easier too. So a big surprise there for small businesses that do consulting, that believe that they don't need a merchant account, but that's the way that we will see future invoices going in, mostly electronic, and you'd be surprised how many actually will pay for it.
Interesting. So, Shafat, let's back up a little bit and kind of give we got you right in the middle of this interesting conversation on electronic invoicing, but the reason that we've got you here is to talk about the fact that you won an awesome add-on award, and we want to make sure that people really understand what this product is. So give me kind of the elevator speech, and you have just a little bit before, but give me the elevator speech on what BillQuick really is. How do you tell people what it really is?
Doug, I'll basically tell you exactly what our sales team would tell our customers, which is the elevated or the elevator view of the BillQuick. It is basically a time billing application. But essentially what it does is it actually takes a look into the most accounting software that are out there, especially for small businesses such as QuickBooks, Peachtree, Office Accounting, MYOB, and understands that those products were designed horizontal. They were designed from a car mechanic to a professional attorney. So they didn't really have the vertical depth that these businesses specifically need. For example, for a client, it is a matter. It is not a job. For an engineer or an architect, it's a project. For an accountant, it's an engagement. It's not a job. It's not a project. So So looking at their specific terminologies and lexicons and understanding their billing methods, you know, we basically went ahead and got domain expertise in all those areas and developed this product that easily could be deployed to everybody in the office, including people that are not in the office. And you feel safe deploying BillQuick because essentially you are not giving them access to your accounting software, which most people want to keep within the ownership or maybe a couple of people in the company that are trusted have access to QuickBooks or have access to their accounting software. So again, BillQuick then becomes your front-end application, which primary job becomes collection of the time entries and making sure the correct rates are applied to the jobs and all the rules are, you know, applied as they record time. So when it comes time for billing, the intelligence in BillQuick really is what plays an important role here, is because they set up their job correctly up front and they told BillQuick what the criteria for billing is, what type of contract they have, how often they want to bill, all those criteria are set up. And from that point on, all they're doing is recording their time and expense. And when it comes time for billing, a couple of clicks would basically essentially produce hundreds of invoices for them for every client that they work. So now instead of doing one invoice at a time, which is what typically every accounting software would want you to do, BillQuick actually makes the complete billing done for you, and you're now reviewing the invoices rather than making the invoices.
Sure.
So major time saving in that aspect. In addition, of course, there are features which completely are backbone features for many consulting firms. A perfect example is a fee schedule. I have yet to meet a consulting firm who has had the same rate for every client or the same rate for every client for every year. So time to time, not only does our billing rate change, we also tend to give discounts to certain clients and therefore use a reduced rate. So the flexibility of changing the rates on basically who the client is, what the job is, or what the engagement is, and being able to do that without having to do that at the time you're doing billing, but at the time you're making time entry and have an intelligent system behind the scene and figure out what rate to use, that is one of the key successes of BillQuick. We do have what we call as fee schedules, where you can set up these rate cards and you can attach these rate cards to clients.
Sure.
And now from that point on, even if you decide to give yourself a raise, you may want to go ahead and still keep the old fee schedule attached to that client. So the other client that you also have an agreement with to bill him, say, at $100 an hour, will be continued billing at $100 an hour, while as you might have decided to up your rate to $125 an hour. So
Shafat, I got it. This is an elevator. Your elevator went way past the top of the building.
Okay.
So I want to pull you back. Excuse me, but I want to pull you back and make sure that we get this stuff properly positioned, because so many people that I visit with when they look at an add-on, whatever it may be, I think one of the big problems that they have is trying to understand what the capabilities are within the accounting product that they're using. So, you know, whether that's QuickBooks or Peachtree or Office Accounting, if all I were doing was keeping track of, you know, a couple of tax returns, and I sent a bill for $200 to two or three people, any one of those products would do that, would keep track of my AR pretty quickly, do a reasonably good job. Is that fair?
That is fair,
okay.
except for, of course,
so I'll get to the accepts. The next part of it is then when you start to try and keep track of your time, that starts to get a little bit confused. So as soon as you start keeping track of time or expenses, or, you know, one of the areas I know that you really shine in, Shafat, is for, like, for example, an attorney working on a matter, and they go out and hire a bunch of experts and stuff like that. And as you know, the rules over in that world are, you know, you get paid when I get paid. So all of a sudden the attorney gets a check, and now they have to figure out how much is theirs and how much they have to pay, you know, how much go back to expenses and how much go to all of these different consultants. That's where you end up being really shining. Isn't that true?
That's so right, Greg. We do have pay when paid feature in BillQuick that does exactly that. As soon as you get the check from your client, BillQuick actually notifies you right away in saying there were several other people that worked with you in producing that invoice, and their bills are in the system. Do you want to see which bills to pay now because you got a check from the client?
Sure. Okay. So, Doug, you've been dealing with people in this world for a long, long time, and I know you've been a BillQuick fan for a long time also. But do you see people continuing to live with less than optimal systems just because of the terrible inertia that they feel around trying to move to a new thing?
Yeah, I think that is going away slowly, but the problem is never fast enough. And what you're really alluding to is people who go out and buy, let's say, QuickBooks, and they start using it, and they say, oh, I can track my time here, and then my time helps me do paychecks. And by the way, the time can be billable, so I can do my invoices straight from the time. And that works pretty well. And then they run into things that or either they notice or don't how much extra trouble it is at invoicing time. A simple problem is who needs to be invoiced? It's the 30th of the month, and we send out our invoices every 30th of the month. Who needs one? And that question seems so simple, but essentially the only way you can find that out in QuickBooks is there is a report you can run, but still there's no way to create invoices for everybody that needs one right now, please.
Right.
There's a new feature in 2008 that has improved on that point, but I do still see people resisting the whole area of adding the right tool to their job, if that means going and getting another piece of software. And that's what we're all about here at this Leader Group, is we're trying to open people's minds to some of these integration opportunities that really streamlines their business. And Shavat's product does it quite well.
Well, one of the things that we hear often is the resistance to, and we're talking about all of the add-on products, the resistance to moving to some of them because of this idea that eventually my feature's going to get built in. Can you want to talk a little bit, Doug, about this whole ecosystem and why the companies, it's not just Intuit, it's Microsoft and Sage too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can't possibly, I don't think.
Do them all, right?
They can't possibly do them all, can they?
Yeah, well, and about 6 years ago, maybe somewhere around there, the tide sort of shifted away from doing the gargantuan do-everything application all-in-one suite kind of approach to going and creating SDKs is the technical term for it, but they're basically...
It's a software developer kit. But...
Yeah, software developer kit, which is a piece of software, if you will, that developers like Shavat use to communicate data between the general ledger package, QuickBooks or Petrie or whatever. And because Shavat can use those SDKs to... tell the general ledger system about what he's doing, that really breaks open this whole concept of I have to have it in my one app accounting software. The feature will come there, and that'll be what I'll wait for. Well, I think a lot of the accounting software companies, they're not building the features. They're instead going after third-party developers like Shavat to say, hey, you build it because you know that marketplace better. You know their needs. You can fill out. I mean, you could hear Shavat as he was talking through all of those things that he was saying. Those are like critical issues for those people who need them.
Oh, they're showstoppers.
Yeah, and there's no way the accounting software is going to have those kinds of features built
right.
all the way out.
So let me take it back over to you, Shavat. I want to make sure that all of our listeners understand you kind of design BillQuick, and I've heard you talk about your pillar approach. What are those pillars? These are kind of your target audiences. Talk about what those are.
Greg, we typically focus on the four pillars, and they are, the first one is the A&E, which is Architectural Engineering. We actually have it AEC, which is Architectural Engineering and Construction. The second industry segment that we typically focus on or majorly focus on is the legal. So all the paralegals and attorneys and lawyers, they all fall into that category. Different billing criteria, different domain knowledge required.
Sure.
There. Then, of course, the IT consulting and other miscellaneous consulting, like the financial consultants, the graphics designers, they all come under
sure.
the third pillar. And the fourth pillar, which is very important, is the accounting industry. So the accountants and the CPAs that have a different method of billing and different method of doing engagement, especially with the tax attorneys and separating them out from the ones that don't do tax prep, major difference there. So what we really have done in BillQuick is we actually have developed four products within one product. And upon the startup interview, as soon as they pick their industry, the code itself basically morphs BillQuick and executes all the necessary pieces of the code to change the lexicon
sure.
and the terminologies throughout the application so that it speaks their language, it has all the terms that they're used to, such as
so,
engagement in the sort of project.
And you've got you have special teams, Shafat, for each. So you have domain experts within BQE that are deeply involved, say, over in the legal side. They're, I mean, I'm sure they pay a lot of attention to the ABA and all of the stuff that's over there, and so they have deep domain knowledge about just the legal profession. Is that kind of how you're designed?
Exactly, Greg. As you know, I came personally from the architectural engineering domain, so I brought with myself that particular domain expertise. We have since, of course, have had teams that we hired for accounting people that were actually practicing accountants that became part of our team or practicing in the legal industry, and similarly IT consultants that were practicing as their small businesses in IT. So they brought in their first-hand experience and the domain knowledge into BillQuick, and that goes into our R&D and eventually into the product. So that's why one of the bigger elements of BillQuick is we don't use the one-size-fit-all criteria. We actually do have a different set of criteria for each business and different set of code that gets executed depending on, again, what industry the consultant belongs to.
Well, my hat's off to you, Shafat, the way that you've built that process. I've actually watched people, the way you describe this setup process, and the pure delight that an attorney would have when he realizes that you actually understand things like matters and dockets and the words that they live by every day, and they don't have to adjust their vocabulary to pick up on what some generic software does. So my hat's off to you. It's easy to understand why, Doug, you're so impressed with BillQuick.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Shafat, thanks so very much for spending time with us today. Share quickly before I let you go. Share a website where people can take a look at, and also throw a plug in here for your user conference. That's going to be exciting.
Yes, Greg, thank you for the opportunity. Of course, on being here, the user conference is in June. The information is on our website at BillQuick.com. That's BillQuick.com. Of course, they can call our toll-free number at 888-245-5669. It is our first conference, and it's going to be a two-day conference, and we are expecting around 300 users will come in. But it's really intensive training and business insights. We have three keynote speakers lined up, so check it out. Check out the schedule online. But more importantly, Greg and Doug, I truly do believe that what you guys are doing here is a great service to the small business owners, because I, as a small business owner many years ago, did look for information that you guys are talking about, because there's technically no easy way to get this kind of information out from internet, get especially for small business. So please continue on with this noble idea and share all the insight with the small business owner. I'm pretty sure a lot of small business will appreciate what you're doing.
Well, Shafat, thanks so very much for the comments and for the belief in podcasting. This is the only opportunity I've ever had to personally thank a sponsor. So thank you for your vision, and thanks for Bill Quick. One of the things that I know you told me is you listen to podcasts when you exercise. So our vision here is we're going to try and keep you even healthier than you are now by doing more and more podcasts, so we can get you to spend more and more time on the treadmill. Shafat, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Greg.
So that was Shafat Kazi from BQE, from Bill Quick Software, talking a little bit about the Bill Quick product and the awesome add-on. Interesting guy, Doug. Every time I talk to him, I understand more about why his product is so good. It's kind of like getting a drink from a fire hose, isn't it?
Absolutely. The guy is technically as deep as you want to go, and understands the business he's in, studies his customers, and he still is very involved with actual customers who implement their software, and he's there for them.
Yeah, he's got pretty much both sides of this. A lot of times, yeah. I meet people in the software industry that are technologists, and they can code in C#, but they wouldn't know a debit from a window shade.
That's right.
Or I've got people on the other side who have this concept of some product, but I mean they have no idea what it's going to look like in terms of a product. So it's pretty interesting when you find people that actually have both. It's not surprising that the product is as good and as successful as it has become. So, Doug, we're right up to the end of our time. I certainly appreciate your time today. Again, we're going to record episode 7 on March 13th at 12 p.m. Central. That's 10 a.m. So you can still sleep in. You usually get to the office about 10 anyway.
Yeah,
right?
I get my coffee about then.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, your latte. we'll be doing that. We'd encourage you to join us on TalkShoe. We actually had quite a few people on today, and that was fun to see them.
Yeah.
So be sure to tune in on March 13th at 12 noon.
Yeah, we're going. We're going to talk about fishbowl inventory next month.
Okay, we're going to talk about inventory in general, right,
yeah,
as our topic, and then our awesome add-on is fishbowl inventory, which is over on the inventory. So I have trouble with that word because I had an Indian professor in my principles of accounting class who used to say inventory. And it was the cumulative effect of the inventory, and I just had a really, really hard time getting, after a while, I couldn't say inventory, because every time I did it, it came out inventory. So you'll have to correct me next month when we get going talking about inventory, which is a huge thing that, quite frankly, none of the products do. I mean, they all do okay. But as soon as there's anything at all special about it, they seem to fall down right away. What you find, Doug?
Oh, yeah. Inventory is a hard problem, and inventory breaks down into 15 sub-problems. So that's why they don't do much. So we're going to drill in a bit next time and discuss some of the options for getting that problem solved.
Well, I look forward to that conversation. And between now and then, if you have any comments, be sure to give us a call, 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Go out, take a look at our show notes, and tell your friends to join us for Small Business Consulting to Go, Episode 7, coming up on March 13th. Doug, again, thank you so very much for sharing your time with us and all you do for our listeners and our readers and the profession in general. I appreciate it and enjoy working with you. Thanks so very much.
Thank you, Greg.
That wraps up this edition of Small Business Consulting to Go. Join Greg and Doug again next month for more insight and advice you can trust. This has been a podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting.